The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
You're listening to Business is Boring, a podcast that reckons it's anything but. Business is Boring is brought to you by Spark Lab, offering inspiration and practical advice to help businesses find their edge. To hear more about Spark Lab, including details about the latest events, workshops, and business tools, visit sparklab.co.nz. And now, here's your host, Simon Pound.
Kia ora koutou katoa. Welcome to Business is Boring. Design and advertising have a diversity problem. Traditionally, both industries have been heavily white and male. And even as more diversity has come through the ranks, ownership and leadership is still not what it needs to be. One local company out to change this by leading through example is Run, a couple-run studio led with a te ao Māori and treaty partnership view. They have been doing great work at both a local and global level to lead change, and we're lucky to be joined today by Raymond Otene Mackay and Laura Sibilich, co-founders and CCO and CEO of Run, to chat through their work and mission. Tēnā kōrua, thank you for being here today.
Tēnā koe, Simon. Kia ora.
Yeah, thanks, Simon.
Hey, so first up, how did you both get interested in the world of creativity? As Laura, you've been on the design side, and Raymond, you've been an art director at some amazing agencies also.
Yeah, I'll kick it off. I was always a creative. I think I was, like a lot of kids, you know, when they're young, they do what they do. And I was into music, so I'm starting way back there, Simon.
Yeah.
It started with music, so and I think if we fast forward a few more years, I went into college, and I think, you know, being a creative was definitely the path I wanted to take, and I just didn't know really how to get there. And so, you know, to talk a little bit about what we're talking about here today, I did a comms degree at AUT. And I actually just fell into the major, which was advertising creativity. And the rest is history from there. I entered the world of advertising creativity through some of the big network agencies and just absolutely fell in love with being able to express myself. So, yeah, that's kind of a very short sort of whistle-stop tour on creativity in my, I guess, in my career path and how I grew up with creativity.
I didn't stop being creative, I guess. Like, I think all kids start off, you know, loving creativity and being creative, and I just didn't get it drilled out of me, I suppose. So, I loved art and design all through school, and ended up taking a year off first after school to decide what I wanted to do, and then decided on a diploma at media design school back in the day.
And you were saying, Raymond, that you kind of fell into advertising. Had you seen advertising as a way to express yourself and a path open?
Yeah, I had no idea what advertising was. Like, I literally thought the brands actually made the ads. So I thought McDonald's, you know, filmed some things and then that was it. I had no idea there was creative teams or, you know, advertising agencies that work with clients to create all this really cool stuff. And actually, it was the third year of my degree that I literally chanced upon some creatives in the common room, and I was like, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, we're creatives. And I was like, oh my God, I need to change over my my major into this. And I went upstairs and said, hey, I want to do advertising creativity. So that was, I guess, my real first sort of look into actually what a creative was and what the career path could be for a young Māori at the time, just going back 20-something years. So yeah, that was kind of my, I think, sort of moment where I was like, wow, okay, there is something called, you know, something for me. So, yeah, that's kind of.
And what led you two to come together to start Run?
We're husband and wife, for those that don't know. Been together a long time, like 20 years plus. And I kind of started it. It was Design Stone first. And Raymond just came on board gradually more and more. Yeah, so I'm a graphic designer originally by trade, and he was kind of freelancing, and we just kind of grew it from there. Yeah, and yeah. I suppose got serious about it when I was pregnant with our first tamariki.
I think we should go back a little bit. I think Laura's always been quite industrious in terms of starting businesses. She had a belly casting business way back when. So she was always sort of, dabbling in entrepreneurship anyway. And so in more of a structured way, myself on the other side of that I used to sell mushrooms on the side of the road with Dad. And we, you know, like got that idea of being able to talk to people and sell a story about, you know, these mushrooms on the side of the road. So I kind of learned in other ways mm-hmm. about entrepreneurship. And I think with Laura and how she approaches things just gave us a more structured way to get into that sort of world. And like Laura said, I came on board as I was sort of freelancing more at these different agencies, and she'd bring on clients and she'd need more help. So yeah, that's kind of how it really started, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Tell me about being both te ao Māori in your worldview of the agency and woman-led, which are two things that are pretty rare in the world of advertising and design, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, very rare. There's majority wahine and wahine Māori actually at our little agency run. Laura's obviously Tarada, Croatian, so she's the leader of our team. And I think it was about 5-6 years ago that we kind of, as we were sort of finding ourselves as a little agency and working with, you know, some bigger clients, we were like, oh, let's look into how we could bring in more te ao Māori. And there was a couple of little briefs that we were doing, and we quickly realised that we actually needed some help in terms of understanding tikanga and te reo Māori and these things that needed to be imbued for certain projects. So we actually talked to one of my first cousins, Ariana Stone, who is our cultural director at RUN, and she helped us, I guess, transition in a really tika good sort of way so that we were doing things right. So, yeah, that's kind of our foray into starting in that world, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, we started the business about 15 years ago, and back then it wasn't with the intent to be a Māori-owned agency or work in that space. But I think gradually over time we just innately were drawn to that and people would find us for that. So, I guess we've got kind of a unique lens and viewpoint.
Yeah.
Which works for us. And the nice thing is now people want to work with us because of that. And we kind of, you know, have a lot of values alignment with the clients we have, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
My observation of really great projects that bring that view in is that it's imbued in the whole process from the very beginning, from even before when the brief starts, right? It's not like at the end, let's find out how we can make this kind of work. So how does that work, being able to offer, I guess, the whole package, right? Like strategy, design, and then telling the story, bringing it to life in the world with that same kaupapa, that same approach the whole way through?
Yeah. Well, most of our team are wahine and Māori, which is really lovely. And so we have it, yeah, we've got a full-time pō aha reo Māori, so cultural director, and she oversees all work as well. So it's imbued and woven through all the work right from the start,
yeah.
Rather than just coming in as a tick box at the end or as a separate company.
Yeah. I think, to add to that, I think because everyone has different sort of and varying experiences being Māori, that can touch upon, you know, just learning your whakapapa to speaking te reo Māori, or have just learnt te reo Māori through takiura or thing, you know, the like. And so there's what that does, I guess, that sort of reflects what society is with Māori too, because, you know, Māori can be across the scale. I've got two, you know, very fair-skinned Tarada Māori, so they are, you know, they're in the bilingual pathway, so they'll have different experiences being Māori and being fair-skinned, just like myself. And so what that does, I guess, it gives clients, you know, this really sort of deep understanding of what it actually means to be Māori in this country across, you know, those different experiences. So, yeah, like Laura said, you know, everyone has a different experience, and we can kind of talk to each one of those, and each person in our team just imbues a little different piece of mātauranga or knowledge there too. So,
and drawing from that lived experience as well, plus keeping in mind no one knows everything. So,
We really do sort of, I guess, with that kind of whakaaro or that idea, we don't really sort of say, you know, we're the experts in this sort of thing. We just sort of like, we have experience in this particular, I guess, you know, space. And then when we do need to bring on experts in specific pieces of work, then we do that as well. So, yeah, it's just all getting together and mahitahi together, and it's really fun. So,
yeah, and that spirit of partnership, right? Like all the best design advertising projects, you're a true partner to your client. But being able to be a partner in the process is extra important when you're actually wanting to create something that is true to a te ao Māori worldview, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and everyone's on their own journey, and every client that does approach us for this sort of work are on their different journeys, and we're really just sort of open to that, and we don't have any preconceived sort of ideas, and we always just say, like, no assumptions, and we're always just really there to guide and uffy those who want to sort of take that journey. And we realise, you know, some people might be at the start of that journey and some people might be, you know, fully in that space. So we just love to be able to uffy and make sure that everyone feels safe when we do create pieces of work, and we want to make sure that everyone's had their say. And we always, you know, because it's our heads on the chopping block if, you know, things may go awry. So, yeah, we're always sort of checking, and if there needs to be external sort of help with that space, we love to do that as well too. So, yeah, it's a volatile but wonderful world to work in, as everyone in this country really knows. So, yeah,
true partnership, open and
definitely
honest. Yeah.
What does a great project look like for you? Like, what's the dream thing to work on that touches all the areas of what you love doing?
Yeah, I think being two creatives in the business, Laura being a designer, myself being a creative and an art director, is the ability to really express those other commercial skills as well while imbuing te ao Māori through that. So we want to know what something Māori in 2029 looks like. It's something that we really want to push, as the culture needs to keep going, because it didn't stop, you know, when we signed the treaty. You know, when we signed that treaty, it didn't stop. So we want to constantly push what te ao Māori looks like. And so I think with some of those projects we do, that does that. So
you want to keep striving to be, you know, keep it in a modern contemporary lens, and be, you know, creative and innovative and unique. You know, we don't just want to be churning out the same work or the same designs. You know, to keep the team fresh and into it as well. But also ourselves being creators running the business, we still love being across the mahi. And
yeah, absolutely. And I think with that sort of pushing the culture to what it may look like for, you know, Māori 100 years from now is really, really exciting, and a privilege to be able to do so as well. So,
you know, something a lot of people would have seen over the last year is the great project you made for D&AD, who are, you know, the biggest, most prestigious kind of craft awards for the world of advertising and design. Tell me about the Manaakitanga pencil that you made for them.
Well, I guess, firstly, I need to say, you know, a huge thank you to my team that allows me to be able to do those sorts of ideas, because, you know, a lot of our work is from a design perspective, so the big advertising jobs aren't always, you know, our focus. But with something like that, and I'll give you a little bit of whakapapa on how that came about. It was literally, I got announced to be a judge and speak at the festival, D&AD Festival, and there were a few sort of stink comments, let's just say that. And I guess seeing those comments in an industry that I've been in for 20 years was a little hard to take. And so, you know, I thought, oh, how do I respond to this in a way that I guess can still uphold everyone's mana? And so the idea was to really, you know, create something that I guess all creatives in the world covet, which is this pencil that you go to, you know, either judge or award to a creative or creative team. And so the simple idea was really just to create a pencil that was imbued with Manaakitanga. So really to say thank you to D&AD for, you know, bringing me upon this journey in that world of creativity, and just sort of express that, you know, this is really cool that you're opening the space to Māori creatives, Indigenous creatives, and even minorities, and that may not be sort of represented at that level and in those judging spaces. So it was really just a thank you to DNAD, and I think it just caught the imagination of people where, you know, we don't always have to reply with the smartest, quickest, wittiest, snipiest sort of response, and it was probably a really different response that the advertising world sort of kind of got, eh?
It was a beautiful thing to see. As, I mean, there's such an element of, you know, that reciprocity of giving something to people who always give but never receive anything. And I love the way that they said, no one's ever given us a pencil before.
That's so true. And I love that. And, you know, they're a charity. So, yeah, like you said, it's so wild that, you know, being around for 62 years and giving, you know, obviously creating these spaces for creatives to sort of enter the world and be, you know, judged by their peers. But then on the other side of that, they do a lot of sort of charitable work with, you know, impoverished communities to get them into the space, because it's such a cool career to be in. You're able to express yourself, you're able to make money having a really cool career. So it really was sort of on the other side of that, just sort of saying thank you, wow, you guys are great, and you know, no one's done it before. So I brought it up to them in person, and I think they were just so shocked, because they thought I was just going to bring up a taonga, like a, like, you know, a beautiful a greenstone ponamu or something like that, because I kind of mentioned to them I'm going to kind of give you guys something to say thanks. And, yeah, they were quite shocked when they received this pencil that they've, you know, used to.
And tell me about how also, you know, it's such a symbol of advertising. Like, even if you're not in the ad or design world, you've probably seen the, you know, that they range in colours, but there's yellow ones and there's black ones and there's grey ones, and they're like a trophy that is a big old pencil. And tell me about, like, I guess, you know, like, putting a new visual into that shape that is so true and only of this world.
Yeah, and it just goes back to that sort of creativity and what could be, you know, because nothing's really original, but, you know, you can twist things that have been done before. And so, you know, like I said, with that creating something that all creatives covet in that space, was kind of a bit of a driver too, because I understood that if people see that, they'll understand what it is straight away. They'll kind of, their mindset, their whakaaro will sort of look at that idea and listen, and actually listen to what the story is about. So Laura might want to.
Yeah, the pencil shape is the award that you actually get if you win a DNAD. So taking that kind of known object and putting that spin on it and making it the Manaakitanga pencil, it was really well received. So over in London it was presented. And then it's gone on to win future awards. So sharing that message in, you know, in the wider ecosystem and industry.
I think from a strategic sort of point of view, it's like, well, it's getting in front of those who are in those spaces too, to sort of have them understand that, you know, they may not have someone who's disabled, or they may not have someone who comes from a minority that is represented. And now I've kind of taken that into my, I guess, focus when I do judge awards. It has like no abstain or yes, and sometimes I'm just abstaining because I have no idea what it's to be disabled, and this piece of work in front of me is being created that way, and I don't know whether that piece of work has been created by people with disabilities. It may not have. So there's a few times at the festival where myself and another Australian judge were just abstaining because we're like, well, I'm not from that community, so I don't know if I can actually speak for that community. So we were having calls with New York and saying, hey, this is for, you know, the student disability. Can you kōrero about it and give us some real insight into how it was created? So,
I love that, because often I wonder, you know, without the context, you know, if anyone says, what do you think of this work? I always say, I don't know. I don't know what the budget was. I don't know how cool the client was. I don't know how much time the agency gave to it.
No,
I don't know what else was going on in their world. I don't know if that was the best thing they physically could have made, or if they phoned it in. I have no idea.
That's so true.
Yeah. And getting that context is so important, right? And I think, yeah, and like that whole thing of like, you know, if the conversation was, we need to have more diversity in the judging for these awards because it's traditionally been absent because of the systemic reasons that people have been in leadership positions who have not been the traditional gatekeepers. Then to actually take the visual of the symbol and make it only and truly and purely something of an Indigenous worldview is so cool.
Yeah, we loved it. And the cool thing about that piece of work is, yes, that was one thing that happened to me, but I understand that that happens to a lot of people who are in those minorities. And so to be able to work with our team further when we had come up with the idea, you know, I worked with my brother who carved it, and I worked with a friend of mine who turned the piece of wood, and we actually had the DNAD pencil from our beautiful whānau at FCB, Kia ora team, and they gave me one of their graphite pencils to, I guess, model the Manaakitanga pencil too. And so all the dimensions were perfect. And, you know, there was a few sort of little inconsistencies that we wanted to kind of have, so it felt like it was really sort of in that space of being crafted and handmade and that sort of thing. So,
but it looks just like a real one.
Yeah.
Just so cool. Yeah.
Look it up on the internet, people. Oh, that's awesome. We'll be back in a moment to talk about the power of diversity and creativity. Spark is proud to partner with the Sustainable Business Network and the Climate Action Toolbox. The free Climate Action Toolbox can provide you with simple step-by-step guides to measure and reduce your emissions. Help lead the way to a low-carbon future for New Zealand. Visit sparklab.co.nz/sustainability to find out more.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Oki mai anō, welcome back to Business is Boring. So tell us about, you know, we've talked a little bit about the diversity problem in advertising. And it's something that, you know, I came up working through a few agencies and the like, and I found them to be, you know, pretty old boys club, pretty traditional, you know, not places that were as progressive as the junior creatives and the values they always talked about. Tell us about that. What has your experience been, or how do you think about the diversity issues in this world?
Well, I can speak from a wahine perspective. I didn't work at the big agencies. I'd more tap in when Raymond was there and things like that. And I think that was intentional. I didn't like the thought of them, or I guess they were intimidating, and I kind of suppose I didn't see myself in them, or I thought I'd get lost in the system or something. So we're kind of aiming to change that, and you know, even now there's not a lot of women-owned agencies around worldwide. I think it's like 1% or something crazy. So we're aiming to change that.
And why is that? Because it's wild, right? Like, one thing I've noticed is that the internship system that so many of the junior creatives come through, basically they get paid nothing, but they're meant to be living these like shiny long lunch lives or whatever. And so the only people who can afford to do that are people with rich parents who know that the industry gets better for them later and so will subsidise them. So if you only have rich and privileged people, kids coming in, young people coming into it, how do you get more perspectives of people who haven't traditionally been the people with all the money?
Exactly, yeah. And Raymond was one of those, working on $100 a week back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, that was the old days, and I think a lot has changed, you know, since those days, and for the better. You know, there's probably more formal sort of contractual sort of agreements with any intern at various agencies. But I think there's a couple of things that I'd like to sort of talk to, and I think it's education. I'll talk to more from a Māori sort of perspective. I think it's a cultural thing where, parents and families don't really understand or know what, you know, you don't know what you don't know. Mm. And so understanding that there is a position or a career in advertising is the knowledge that is missing. And so most parents will just know that there's an accountant, a doctor, a tradesperson, whatever that may be, but there's never any thought to being creative. And,
you know, a career in the creative industry.
That's right. And I think the probably most common thing people would think of if you're a creative is that you're an artist, and then obviously artists are, you know, generally not the wealthiest people unless you're the big dogs. You know, that's kind of comes into play. And then just like you touched on with, you know, having, I guess, a safety net when you are an intern. You may have a huge family that lives in, you know, in a lower socioeconomic area. And so there are certain responsibilities maybe put on you as a young person coming into an internship. But then you also have to think about your whānau as well, and maybe not having, you know, those safety nets that some of our people might have in the advertising industry are just not there. And so, you know, it probably is harder when you're like, okay, I've got an internship, I've got to get this job as a creative, and it's a really hard job to get as a, you know, going into that space. So
I think the industry is changing though.
Yeah.
You know, there's a real drive to have paid internships now, and we definitely do that. And it's the balance. Like, internships are really valuable. You know, you get a taste of the industry and you get all that real world experience that is missing. It's like the link between, say, uni or study or a degree, or just coming straight in to learning that real world experience so you can hit the ground running when you're in.
Yeah, it's a real commitment. So
I think it's about being flexible with the internship and working with the person, you know, tailoring it to them. You know, if they've got tamariki, you know, what hours work for you, or if they've got a part-time job they want to keep to support that as well, at the same time support themselves, you know, being flexible with that. So not just a one size fits all.
Yeah.
And being, you know, in design or creative and storytelling, like, those are kind of the new art, right? Like, as art becomes increasingly intellectualized and for a very small group of the world, art used to be how everyone understood things, and now so much of art is, whew, you know, and then design and graphic design and advertising is kind of the language for everyone. Like, there's so many jobs and so much potential and so much room for great storytelling. It's kind of criminal that people don't think they fit inside it.
Yeah, or there's just tracks that have been worn by a few sort of parts of that sort of world, like, you know, obviously film and directors, like we all know Taika Waititi, mm-hmm. right? Content, you know, social content on TikTok, but there's never really anything sort of in between where, you know, you can be the social media community director for TikTok, or, you know, looking after people in the film space. But so I think it's just those sort of in between, like you said, those careers in between those spaces that are very well worn. So,
and something that you're doing to help to lift up and show stories of people is Orator Circle. Tell us about that. I love that platform.
Yeah, so that was I think I had won some putia from the Auckland Business Chamber, so kia ora team at the Auckland Business Chamber, and it was to really just uplift and shine a spotlight onto creative leaders in the space. And I really wanted to be quite specific, because if we go creative leaders, that could be across a huge sort of, you know, variety of things. So I kept it quite close to graphic design and advertising creativity. So that was started 5 years ago. So I did that just before, it was 2018, and then obviously coming into COVID, and then us with our business sort of taking off, that's kind of taken a little bit of a backseat. So mm-hmm. don't have the amount of lovely stories that you guys
it's
hold
It's nothing
here.
Like your podcast yet.
not yet. But yeah, I think it's just a bit of love, you know, a bit of aroha to kind of bring it up to speed. So yeah, well, that's one thing that we're really focusing on this year, and we've had a few podcasts and we're trying to get people in to kind of share their stories. So.
Yeah, the aim is to shine a spotlight on the, you know, on the creative advertising and design industry for young, you know, young Māori and Pacific people.
But the thing is, I think with the platform itself is that I don't want it to be just a siloed sort of, you know, like a echo chamber. I want to bring in, you know, people who I looked up to as a creative. So my first guest was Andy Blood, kia ora bro. Mm-hmm. And he was wonderful mentor to me as I worked at TBWA, and I thought, well, I'll bring him in because he knows a lot in this world. So you know, I want to bring rangatira in all different spaces and have that mix, you know, that tangata whenua, tangata tiriti. So that's a really special, I think, kaupapa to share and bring us together too. So that's one of our whakaro at RUN. It's the tangata whenua, tangata tiriti, and all bringing together so we can have a really, really good future. So
a true te tiriti partnership.
Absolutely.
And another of the ways that you run your business that I found really inspiring alongside that partnership idea is the idea of the power of positivity, which is something that I really loved. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I love the power of positivity, you know, manifestation and putting it out there and, you know, you get back what you give.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that too. I'm probably a little bit more on the yang side. So, you know, you can't have positivity without a little bit of negativity in there. But that negativity is more, I guess, if we focus that into being really, really sort of picky on what we do as creatives and what we kind of put forward to the industry as well. So not necessarily negative, it's more critical, I think. Mm-hmm. That's probably how I would sort of...
Yeah, and the creative industry is fun in itself too. Yeah. So I think that's a positive thing. You know, we do serious stuff in our mahi, but it's overall, it's still creative and fun and positive.
Yeah,
and it's like you make change by creating optimism and hope and, you know, people believing things can be better, right? And
exactly.
Positivity has a huge role to play in that.
Yeah.
And I think also it's people who believe in you as well, people who want to help share that story. And I've had you guys as well, you know, I've had that sort of following on LinkedIn, which is, you know, they just get behind you when you've got a kaupapa that everyone believes in. You know, all the big agencies are wanting to bring our young Māori and Pacific rangatahi into these spaces. So there's a lot of really beautiful positivity towards that. And so we definitely tautoko that and love that. So
it's one of our values. So yeah. we believe in it strongly.
Yeah.
And what are you excited about at the moment in the world of design? And, you know, there's a lot to do, but there does feel like you say there's a bit of momentum behind the kaupapa now.
I think, you know, for us in our agency, the kind of new government initiatives that have come in and First 100 Days stuff has kind of thrown us off a little bit. but, you know, flip side, thinking positive, I think it's gone the other way with other organisations saying, hey, no, that's not us. We still want to continue this journey and, you know, to a better Aotearoa and a more inclusive one. And they're kind of going against what the government are doing and really driving the change.
Yeah, nothing in life's easy. And so we just take everything as a challenge and you obviously have to put your thinking caps on to I guess, sort of navigate, you know, new change, I guess. We're very good at change and how we, I guess, have been as an agency. Laura started our agency in a recession, 2008. So, you know, while people were sort of thinking about, you know, maybe sort of closing down or making things smaller, we just started and just had that, yeah, just sort of crazy...
Yeah.
Outlook into that space.
And so. It's thinking of those opportunities, you know, how can we work together with clients in a partnership and you know, work together to change through organisations or whatever their kaupapa may be. It's really, yeah, helping to drive that.
Yeah.
And outside of, yeah, the design and ad industry, as you say, like with the rollback and the regressive approach to the First 100 Days kind of stuff, that did feel like the rolling back of a lot of forward movement in that space at the big communication level. But has that galvanised people working in the space to push against it, to make things better in their own backyard?
Definitely. I think we've got enough sort of rangatira in the space of te ao Māori to be in a position where you know, maybe if it was 10 years ago, it might have been a bit harder, but I think there's a lot of leaders now that kind of are, you know, supporting our reo and how we sort of operate. And so, yes, that does extend into all the big corporate clients that we're working with. Other agencies' clients are still, we're still seeing beautiful work come out. So, you know, we tautoko any of the big corporates that are wanting to, I guess, imbue te ao Māori through their work, te reo Māori through their work. And, yeah, I mean...
Over the 15 years in business, we've seen that progressive change and seen it develop and grow. And so we're still seeing that. And it's, you know, there's still Māori within organisations and even government agencies wanting to create change. So, yeah, it comes back to them, I suppose.
Yeah.
What would your advice be to people who are wanting to grow a business that is led by its beliefs and what it values in the world?
That's a big, big thing. Yeah. I might let Laura
We worked on our values, a few years ago, and they've developed over time. But it's just, you know, really living those and staying true to them and keep revisiting them. You know, if a project's not right, if it's not aligning to our values, then we're not scared to say no. And we know that, you know, our mahi and our, you know, long-term kind of business is better because of that.
Yeah.
And so it's just staying strong to that and true to that.
And also just bringing that, we always just go back to that positivity thing, is we don't really just say no, we say not now, you know, like, because people still need to understand there's a journey to go on before we kind of come into the picture. And so, you know, we may have a client come to us and be like, we want to do this. And we're like, well, have you done this yet? And have you thought about this? And they'll be like, no, we haven't. And we'll just say, that's cool, go away, do that, and come and see us in 6 months to a year, and you'll have figured out what you may have needed to have done to come and see us. And then, yeah, we just go from there. And we never say no. I think it's more of a, depending on what it is, but like, you know, like if it's someone who's wanting to imbue te ao Māori through a piece of work, we just want them to understand there are things they will need to do before we do work on that work. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've got clients at all levels of their journey in te ao Māori. So it's, how do we come in and fit in with that and the journey they're on too?
Yeah, absolutely.
And as a final thought, what will success be for Run, and what will success be for you two? Just a little question.
We did a little bit of, put a little bit of thought into this in the last couple of years as we've grown, and it's been like, oh my gosh, are we growing just for the sake of growing? So for us, we don't have big goals of being, you know, the biggest agency around, because I think we would lose that closeness. You know, we're creatives loving still the creativity, so we still like to be across that. And we've got a great team, so it's not growing too much. Might be a little bit more global stuff, we already do a little bit, but... Yeah, Raymond elaborate.
Yeah, no, I take a lot of sort of, guidance from, I think it was last year, there was a really cool conference called, was it AGI or RG? And there was so many beautiful global agencies, and there were six people or four people, and they're doing massive work, and they're still having fun, and, you know, kind of just expressing themselves and obviously, you know, making a living from doing that. But I think further to that, and thinking a little bit further into the future of Run, I would love it to sort of just go beyond us and have the young ones kind of take over or whatever that looks like. I think we're quite unique in the fact that we do have a formal partnership with FCB, and that's an agreement we came to after about a year-long sort of, process where we work as an independent agency. They're independent, but we do come together on certain things. So that's like tangata whenua, tangata tiriti in a nutshell, you know. It's that kind of just partnership on things to make things good. And so, you know, if Run can kind of maintain, you know, a direction like that would be wonderful, you know. So
yeah, I think it's keeping the quality and the work, keeping strong to those values, and just doing more great stuff, really.
Yeah, love it. I can't wait to see what cool stuff you make happen next and the leadership you're making happen. So love it. Thank you so much for joining us today. That's Raymond and Laura of Run.
Kia ora. Kia ora. Thanks, Simon.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you so much to Raymond and Laura, and thank you to you for listening and everyone who helps make this happen, like our producer, Te Aihei Butler. If you like what we do, please do rate and leave a review. E no hora.
From the Spin-Off Podcast Network, that was Business is Boring, brought to you by SparkLab. Make sure you're following Business is Boring wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information on SparkLab, visit sparklab.co.nz. Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihei Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.